Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Susan, I heard you're referred to as the real-life Carrie Bradshaw. Is that true?
Wow, Lois, that is such a compliment. Either Carrie or Sarah Jessica Parker, being compared to them is extraordinary. But you know what? Maybe I am. Maybe the pain that Carrie felt, the love that she felt for Big was the love I felt for my husband. The journey she went on led me to a feeling of self-discovery and working at self-actualization. Coming through that tunnel and seeing the light, maybe I guess so. I think that, you know, Carrie definitely has gotten the exposure, but I've got the experience here of feeling the pain, understanding the loss, and then moving forward to make it the best life I can make it.
Many mature women believe most of the men out there are creeps. What do you think?
Oh, Lois, that makes me laugh. I don't think that most men out there are creeps. I think that everybody has their story and everybody has their backstory. And when you go into this generationally after 55, you have to understand that you're going to be with people that have baggage and have a past and have a story. And I don't think they're creeps, just like men can't turn that around and say that about women either.
That's very interesting. Okay. Why do you think most older women have a tough time meeting men?
This is a new experience for women who have been with someone or have not been with someone for a long period of time. Look, socializing has changed. That organically meeting people online at the grocery store or next to them at SoulCycle or at a party with a cocktail in your hand is probably obsolete. Been replaced with dating apps, and if you're lucky enough, introductions, but more often with dating apps. And this is a brand new world. You have to be savvy on the computer. You have to have a new outlook in who you are and how you're going to present yourself. And there's a whole lot of technology involved. So I think that it's a matter of a learning curve for most women to understand how to meet people.
That's interesting. But a lot of women will still insist that there's no one out there to meet, and it's very difficult at this age to meet someone. How do you feel about that?
Have they talked to the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings that say exactly the same thing? It's not generational. It's difficult in this new world of technology and cyber danger and skepticism to meet people. As I said, the whole organic idea of meeting someone at a restaurant or a bar and making a date, giving them your phone number and making a date is not happening. Everybody wants 6 degrees of separation. They want to know that the person they meet knows someone they knew, that, you know, they're not an axe murderer or somebody really dangerous. So I think that it's not women over 55 that have this plea, but women all along the generation. And most of it's probably tied up in safety. There's a whole new world out there.
It's very interesting. How do most single senior people meet each other? That seems to be an unknown for a lot of people.
That's true. And there are communities where over 55 have a greater chance of meeting each other if one moves into one of those communities, whether they're in Boca or in Long Island or in Westchester, where there are social events. Of course, to me, and I've written about this, the ideal is an introduction, but most people don't want to put themselves out there. I'm lucky enough to have one particular friend who has introduced me to two wonderful men, which is, you know, I call lightning hitting twice. But the apps, I mean, there are senior apps. There are apps that are more specific to interests. there, and dating apps let you get your feet wet. You dip your toes in. You know, you do the first round of, you know, sending a heart or a like, and then you communicate through the app, and then maybe you decide to exchange phone numbers, and then you talk, and then you FaceTime. So that blind date isn't blind anymore. But you have to be willing to put yourself out there and feel around. The good thing about app dating for people over 55 is it, you can do a lot of searching. You can do a lot of swiping. You don't really have to dive in with your hands in front of your head into the cold water. You can heart once. You can do it a couple times. You can see how it feels for you. You can kind of dance around it and get comfortable with it. But so you have to be a little bit... Go ahead. Yes, no, I'm saying that most, you have to put yourself out there.
Yeah, see that is the soundbite that most people don't realize. You have to put yourself out there. They don't put themselves out there and then they complain that there's no way to meet anyone. But you know, you just said something before and I want to ask you again about that. If you put yourself out there and you call this a blind date and nobody you know knows this person, how safe mm-hmm. and you know, how trustworthy is this exercise?
Well, as the younger generation will tell you, you meet in bright restaurants or bars or places that you're comfortable in your area where you might know the hostess or you might know the bartender. You don't invite them back to your apartment. I remember laughing at a man I had met on a dating app, and we met for coffee one day. And the next time he texted me, he said, "You'll come to my apartment for dinner. I'll have my cook make it." And I'm like, really? Like, there was not a chance that I was going to put myself in that situation and go to his apartment after meeting him for coffee once and put myself there. Just like a young girl shouldn't do that either. You know, those are things you have to be really, really careful about. And nothing's changed. Their leeriness is our leeriness. The good thing is that if you're in a particular demographic and you are dating a man that is either geographically or religiously or culturally in your community in a city, sometimes if you feel around, people do know them. But again, it's a leap of faith. But meet them at Bryant Park for coffee. Meet them at, you know, your restaurant across the street from your apartment where you're comfortable. Meet them for a walk. Go to, you know, the High Line. You do things that are more public and safer.
That's interesting. That guy that asked you to come to his house, you know, and mm-hmm. his cook was going to make you dinner, that guy mm-hmm. really had other motives. It's very frightening when you think about it, that somebody would do something like that. And a lot of women would fall for that. They would think like that's a big compliment, but it really isn't.
Absolutely. It was very off-putting to me, and I actually kind of chuckled when he said that. He said, you know, I have a late night meeting, you'll come to my apartment. And I thought, what are the chances that I would put myself in that situation? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny because when I was younger and dating in college, I got myself into a jam once. And that left a very deep impression on me. I learned not to do it twice.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because sometimes when I look back at my dating life and reflect on some of the things I did, I actually get like a sharp pain, you know, in my side.
Oh, don't
like,
we all?
Oh, my don't God. How did I ever, you know, do something like that? And how crazy was that? Well, that was
And
really...
how lucky were we? How lucky yeah. were we? You know, that, yeah,
that's
that we
what
didn't
scares
get into...
me the most. That I got away
right, but
safe.
I will tell you, I did have one incident that was really horrible. So it left a lasting impression.
Are you going to share that with the audience, or are we going to wait for another time for that?
Another time.
Okay. Oh, you have. I can't wait for the next podcast. So, Susan, what is your criteria for a man you're willing to date? And I'm purposely asking you this because I know that you were married to the most ideal man on earth.
You know, to me, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you yes. know what? A lot of people have said that. So I'm curious, you know, especially you, you know, how is it different in what men look for in a date and what women look for?
That's the operative question. What do men look for? What do women look for? And I think that because I am that person that is not looking to recreate what I had, my criteria is completely different. And I have written and said, you know, no DNA in this, no children coming out of this, you know, not looking for what genetically is going to happen or what kind of provider he's going to be. So it's entirely different. Now, I don't think men look at it that way. I think men, and I'm so reticent to say this out loud, but I think in many cases this time around, men are looking for trophy women. And that's a little bit painful and a little bit uncomfortable. They're looking for that woman on their arm, that woman that's smart, that woman that's elegant, that woman that has, you know, knows her way around the ropes. Women, I think, for the most part, are looking for kindness and someone who is interesting and smart and funny, if any of these are your criteria. I don't think women are looking for that handsome knight. I think they're smarter than that. I think women date smarter than men. They're looking for nice people, kind people, warm people. Men are superficial first and then trickle down. And that's a fact of life, I think.
So, Susan, you are much kinder than I am. I think, and I've heard through a lot of women friends that at our age, and I'm older than you, you know, in your senior age, a lot of men are looking for either a purse or a nurse. And you have never talked about that.
I have a really good friend who said that from the onset, from the time I was widowed. She said to me at lunch, never be a purse, never be a nurse. And I had never heard that before. You know, that whole idea that men are looking for 30-year-old women, 60-some-year-old men are looking for 30-year-old women, I think has dissipated. I think that I dated on the apps a whole lot of men who had that six-year-old child at 68 because they not necessarily married that woman, but had a relationship with her and she had a child and now they have a six-year-old. And very often they were looking for a stepmother or a weekend mother for this child of theirs that was also of grandchild age, which I found very unappealing. If I'm going to have grandchildren, let them be mine. But I'm not seeing that as much anymore. Men are, in fact, one man in humor said that he wants to put on his profile, like, she can't be fertile. He doesn't want to date any woman that can have children because he doesn't want to get in that jam. But men want to be taken care of. They want to think as they age that there will be someone with them, I think, a little bit more than women. Women, I think, often have a more financial bend to it. If they are not financially secure, that is something that's important to them. But men do, I feel, want that woman to take up the slack of, as I age, I want someone with me. Not necessarily a nurse, but definitely the comfort end. You know, as I age out, as I become grayer, as I become less virile, I want a woman by my side, someone to eat dinner with, someone to wake up in the morning, someone to do those wifely things. So that's an interesting phenomenon that I have bumped into.
Because how do you personally feel about that?
I have, over the last 3 years, worked really hard to be a very independent woman. And independent does not ever denote that I don't need someone. And men like to often say that, oh, you're so independent, you don't need anybody. I do need somebody, but I also like being with me. And I like that time alone. I like that time in my own head, in my own space. So I am trying to find a balance. That's my goal. I'm not sure that that is the goal of the majority of people out there. I think they're trying to recreate what they had or what they think is an ideal.
How did you come to that conclusion that you didn't want what you had before or tried to? I know it's difficult to achieve that, but how did that intelligence come into your head?
I was fortunate enough to have, I got married at 22, fortunate enough to have a 38-year-old marriage that was, in my eyes, extraordinary. Logic would tell me that the likelihood of doing that again is not strong, and then the work to make myself comfortable with being with me. And I often, you know, will relate the story where my daughter, who is, you know, my heart and soul, said to me one day, you need to soul search and find out, can you be happy? Are you happy? It's like someone slapped me in the face. Because I never thought, well, I can't be happy or I'm not happy, but I actually needed to think about it. And in thinking about it, I actually went on a campaign to make this person more independent, more comfortable with myself. And it's been a work in progress. I mean, there are dark, lonely days and times that I'm sad, but the good times and the times being fulfilled by other people and myself are the vast majority.
Wow.
I never think that recreation is a good thing. But I never think that recreation is a good thing because it's forever going to be an imitation. I don't want an imitation. I want something new. I want something different.
I don't know how you got so smart, but, you know, it's scary.
So, got slapped around a little by life. I think that's what did it.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Do older men just want sex or do they want a relationship? Can older men have... Wait a second. Can older men have sex? And what is the story there?
Good question. I mean, there's a whole pharmacology out there that allows older men, if they are having any trouble, to come into the world of viability. You know, Viagra, Cialis, et cetera, has definitely changed the landscape. You know, there's a whole theory, too, about, you know, menopausal women having a reluctancy. I'm not sure that that isn't a lot of urban myth, but men are not in this solely for sex. That is definitely a misnomer. They're in it for companion. I don't believe they are. I don't believe that men in their 60s, 70s are looking primarily for a sexual relationship. I think they want that as well, but I don't think that that's the primary interest. I think it's the whole package of companionship and stimulation intellectually and culturally and a sex life. Remember that sex lives of long married people change and evolve and oftentimes diminish. The newness of having sex with a new partner, seeing how a new man looks at you, touches you, makes love to you, is very exciting and new and changes the parameter of what you had for years ago. So I think everybody enters this with a little bit of a different head, and it's a little bit more youthful and a little bit more sexual.
You made me blush.
Is that easy to do?
when you talk about sex, certainly. But I want to ask you, based on what you said, do you think men, older men, feel like they're much more macho if they act like, you know, sex is important to them, or is it really important to them? Or, you know, go ahead.
Look, I can't tell you that my subset of research is vast in this. It is contained. I don't want you to get any wrong impression here. But I think that people who are sexual have innuendo and speech and movement that lets other people who are sexual know that. So I think in conversations that you have when you first meet people and texts and double entendres, that like people attract. So I think that men that are interested in that attract women who are interested in that. And I think that men who are single probably are on that track. I think that sex is probably as important, if not in the higher 50% for men who are dating. I had one man tell me on a date from an app that he had slept with 40 women since his divorce.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at him, I said, really? I said, do you get tested? He said, no. I said, well, how's that working out for you? And that I didn't see him again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My God. I don't know why anyone would even speak like that.
Virility, you know, ego, men are men. You know, they're mm-hmm. still that being. And it's still very important to their ego and who they are. But I don't think all men primarily go into a dating relationship with sex on their mind. I did hear a really cute story about a man down in Florida who was interested in someone I know who's in her 80s, late 80s, but he was only taking her to dinner because sex was really important to him, so he was dating a woman in her late 70s for that. I thought that was really interesting.
Right, and he offered up that information.
Well, you know, he made it known.
Yeah. I have to ask you a question that a lot of women have asked me, you know, especially when they first go out on a date, when they're like over 55, 60 years old. It must be very odd being married to someone for a very long time, then meeting someone, and all of a sudden, whether you're in a hotel room or in your bedroom or his bedroom, getting undressed for the first time. Are the lights on or the lights off?
Do you mean that figuratively or literally?
I will take it either way.
I'll tell you what's really interesting about that is that when you're having this first encounter with a man, this is the only way he knows you. You're not mourning your body of 20 years ago. His body
right.
isn't the body of a 30-year-old either. So you're really a lot more comfortable because mm-hmm. you only know each other as you are right now. So if you're in great shape for a 65-year-old, that hats off to you, and that's going to be noted. If he's in great shape for a 62-year-old, you're going to notice that. In some cases, second, third time around, you don't care as much. But again, you're not mourning the body that he saw 30 years ago that you met with, you know, that sensational person, pre-children, pre-everything. So it's an honesty factor. You are honestly in this as you are at that moment. And that's freeing. Because
well, what about the people that are
like
not in
25
shape?
Either.
Yeah.
But
what
he
about
may
people?
Not be in shape.
Yeah. Well.
You know, he's got that tummy. He's got, you know, I mean, it's not like you decided to, you know, hook up with a man who's 25 and you're 58. He's
right.
in your range. He's also aged. He's also seasoned, matured. So what you're showing each other is in the moment, completely honest, and the only thing you know about each other.
That's
so
true.
It's actually very, it's very freeing. Very freeing.
Well, that's interesting.
Right.
What quality?
I would tell a woman, don't worry about it. And you know what? The whole idea that if you're more comfortable, you know, it's really funny. In Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker had a thing that she always wore a bra in all the bed scenes. She never took it off.
Right.
Stay quasi-dressed if that makes you more comfortable. You are setting the rule. There's nobody else setting these rules. You know, if you want to, you know, keep a nightgown on or a tank top or whatever it is, your call. These are your rules, your time.
I think
enjoy
that's
it.
The major soundbite. We haven't finished this podcast, but that certainly will sound bells all over the world. That's unbelievable.
It's your time. Yep,
that's,
your rules, your time.
That's exactly correct. No excuses.
No.
What qualities should women look for in more mature men?
As I said, you're not looking for DNA. You're not looking for genetics. You know, some people, some women, if they're financially insecure, that finance is a major issue for them. In my world, it's all about that kindness. It's all about the humanity, the kindness, the respect. Respect is probably number one for me. Respect me for who I am, and I will respect you for who you are. And the fact is, you know, can you zig and zag together? You know, do you have the qualities that if he wants to play golf 24/7, are you okay with that? You know, do you have enough interest that you can do your own thing? If he wants to accompany you to spin, is that a good thing for you? You know, do you get what you need out of who they are as a person? Do you both like to go to the movies? Do you both like to go out to dinner? If you have fundamental differences, people don't change. They just reveal themselves. So look for the qualities that you would look for in a friend or a mate or anything else. It's just the one thing you can ignore is that whole DNA thing. You know,
right.
You don't have to think about, is he tall enough? Is he, you know, are his genes good enough? You don't have to think about that anymore. Put that away.
What do folks over 55 do on first dates? I've always been very curious about that.
You make them sound like dinosaurs. I don't know, graze in Central Park? No. It's the same. Dating is usually dinner or meeting for a glass of wine or possibly in nicer weather. I've walked to the High Line with people. I've gone to, you know, the Vessel at Hudson Yards, out to lunch. Everything that 30-somethings or 20-somethings do, exactly the same thing. It's at that point, the one thing you have to understand is usually you've had many conversations with this person. You've texted. From texting, you move to the, you know, to the phone. From the phone, you move to FaceTime, and then you have the date. So it's not like, what do you look like when I meet you at the restaurant? You know what they look like. And you've heard about their children and their ex-wife or their wife that passed away. You've heard about, you know, what they do for a living. You have common ground. So it's usually dinner or a glass of wine or a cup of coffee. Same, same that everybody else is doing.
Do the dates last for 5 minutes or do they last for an hour? Is that an indication?
Of course it is. I had a funny date from an app where I met him at Docks on the East Side on a very rainy May night, and that is geographically undesirable for me. I live on the Upper West. And I got there and I thought I looked pretty damn good. And he didn't find me attractive. He didn't find me interesting. I ended up kind of giggling. Like then I started like playing with him, you know, then you can say, you know, I'm an axe murderer. But right. I ended up, it was like 10 minutes. It was the fastest glass of wine I ever put down my throat. And then there are dates, like, you know, with the man I'm currently with that was, you know, 5 hours. We talked and talked. We talked in the car. Yeah. You know, it's the same chemistry of meeting a friend or meeting a man or when you dated when you were young. If the chemistry is there, you can talk all night. If it's not, you're out of there. And if he's out of there, you know the answer.
Wow. Well, yeah, that makes sense. So another question that gets often asked is, how important is their bank account? Both ways, women to men and men to women.
Of course, that's a very personal question. And not personal that you're prying, personal that
right.
What is enough to people? A lot of people will say in the 50, 60, 70, 80 range, why get married? It will only complicate things financially. You know, you have children that are your inheritors. If you're equal, that becomes an interesting dance too. You know, what do men pay for? What do women pay for? You know, I've been traveling with the man I'm with right now. And, you know, we've kind of worked it out nicely where, you know, I may pay for the hotel in one city and he may pay for the hotel in the other city. You know, and like I'll pay for things so that he picks up every dinner check because that's what we're comfortable to in our, you know, society. You know, men pick up the check. It's an interesting growth phenomenon. But there are people that marry for money. And there are people that are 25 and marry for money and 35 and 45.
Right.
That's a personal thing. And that's, everybody has to be on board with that one. Like there should be no deceit in that because that's a slippery danger slope on both sides. It gets children angry. It gets friends angry. It's something people should be very aware of. And there's
always prenups
and legal documents. And, you know, I've heard of stories of men that have lived with women for 20 years and the woman has been completely devoted to him. He dies and the Florida apartment, she gets kicked out and the kids take it over and she has nowhere to live. Like, that's not fair.
Right.
You know, it's something that should be strongly considered. Because if you're going to go the long haul, a man or a woman needs to be taken care of in a committed relationship. Just because you're not married doesn't mean that you're not in a committed relationship and there shouldn't be concessions. And that's something, just like kids now, a lot of them have prenups, not because one necessarily comes into the marriage with so much more money, but because inheritances and things like that, you should do it up front because that's so unfair at the end game, you know?
I think that's so important. And also, if you do that and you go through all the legalese, at least you know what the other person has. So before going into it, you know, you don't become the meal ticket for someone else. And if you do become
Correct.
The meal ticket, then you understand that you're the meal ticket.
Right.
And you don't care about that. You care about other things. But that's why that question was asked, because it means
right.
different
right.
things to different people. So
right. And it doesn't mean that it has to be the man who has more money. The woman could have more money.
Right.
But I think after you've had a relationship, you've been in this for a while, you all know where you stand. You know, if
right.
one person is financially more secure than the other, it's come out. And again, I agree with you. If you're going the long haul, there should be some sort of legality to it, because the fact is, when you have other families come into play and children and inheritance and money, it only gets ugly.
Absolutely.
So everything should be put down.
Mm-hmm. That was great advice. So now mm-hmm. We're getting sexier again. When in a relationship, you know, since we are mature people, is it the appropriate time for sex? I mean, do you tell men and women from your experience that the first date is okay, or, you know, you should wait a while? I mean, not that everyone's going to listen, not that everybody has the same answer, but, you know, you're more experienced. Well, how do you feel about that?
Wow, that's a loaded line. I'm more experienced.
Right.
I think that it's no different than when you were younger, that there are people you have chemistry with, there's people you don't. There, I have dated more widowers than I have divorced men. And with widowers, there's a guilt factor that they feel like they're cheating on their wives oftentimes.
Wow.
Mm. Which is completely understandable. And that's a podcast for another time, guilt.
Yes.
So sometimes some people, and maybe women too, just need to be led by the hand. Some people, there's an instantaneous chemistry. I had one man look at me once and say, I don't know what to do. And my comment back was, you'll know when you know. You'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, honestly, and particularly with widows and widowers, there's a gentleness to the relationships and to the sex, because there's sometimes a ghost in the room with you. Sometimes there's a third person. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Particularly in the beginning, you need to get past that. But, you know, to some people, it's a rip the clothes off kind of second date. And to some people, it's, you know, 3 months later, are we going to be friends, or is this actually going to go somewhere? It depends on where, you know, everybody's coming to this with baggage. You know, when you're dating in your 60s, you have baggage, whether you're divorced, single, or widowed. So everybody has to get past that. And
wow.
My only suggestion is, you know, be kind, to be gentle. As I said to that man, you'll know when you know, you know? And he did. And he did.
Yeah, you know, it's a whole new dimension that, you know, you opened
yep.
up a big, you know, entranceway to another world that a lot of people
mm-hmm.
probably want to hear about. So we'll go in depth on that, you know, in another time. Anyway, you know, also, how many men or how many women do you think mature people should date at the same time? It's not, you know, it's not exactly the same, you know, when you have a long runway ahead of you. I mean, how sensitive of a subject is this?
It's a very sensitive subject because many people want commitment, and they want commitment early. So I think that has to be an honesty factor. I think that when you're in a committed relationship, again, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you have to have communication and say, we're in a committed relationship or you're not. I mean, I would never, ever, and I try in life to never say never, never say always, but I would not sleep with two men at the same time. That is completely out of my realm. And as far as dating two men, if I'm in a committed relationship, that would be, I would have to come clean. So when you're early on in dating, and I think that I find that men make more of a sport of it than women. I mean, they do Excel spreadsheets, some of them. And, you know, they keep the calling and the chatting and the talking, and they will date all week long. As long as you're not misrepresenting yourself, you have every right to do that. But once you make a commitment to someone, once it is a committed relationship, then that's between the two of you, whether it's an open relationship or a closed relationship. But again, how many people you date at the same time is very different from how many people you sleep with at the same time. And I will tell you that, you know, one should practice safe sex no matter how old they are.
No question about it.
You
have my mind going so much that I can't wait to speak to you again. I mean, not only are you just talking about relationships, you know, at a mature age, you're talking about life in general. And I think
yep.
like this is really important for people to examine, because, you know, if you think about what you want to do for the rest of your life and you don't reflect and you don't really, you know, give thought to it, then you might have some regrets, you know, so I think like this was a great podcast. We thank you all very, very much. And we look forward to talking to you again.
I really had a lot of fun with this, Lois. And I just want to say that in closing, that civility is civility, kindness is kindness, respect is respect, and it transcends all the decades. So if you can just keep that in mind, I think life definitely goes your way.
And Susan, I have to add, if people take your advice and apply that to life in general, we would have a very happy nation or a happy world. So thank you. thank you for those thoughts, because no matter how we try, a lot of us are not as good as you. So
that's not true.
we need to rethink everything. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.